there, and I thank you so much for being with us. Sara Lee Whitson is Executive Director of Human Rights Watch's Middle East and North Africa Division. We'll link to her piece in the Los Angeles Times. The U.S. is quietly helping Saudi Arabia wage a devastating aerial campaign in Yemen. And thanks so much to Fariel Muslimi, speaking to us from Beirut, Lebanon, visiting scholar at the Carnegie Middle East Center there in Beirut and co-founder of the Sana'a Center for Strategic Studies. That does it for our show. The Democracy Now! 20th Anniversary Tour begins next week. I'll be in Ithaca on April 6th, Columbus, Ohio on the 8th, St. Louis and Columbia, Missouri and Kansas City on the 9th, Los Angeles and Santa Barbara on the 10th. And the 100 City Tour continues from there. Check our website at democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Has two job openings. Check our website. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 7:59. Time for Positively Revolting.
A Washington Post investigation revealed that of all fatal shootings by police in 2015, almost one quarter involved a person who was mentally unstable. Tune in to Prison Pipeline on April 4th to hear St. Helens Police Chief Terry Moss discuss how crisis intervention training is changing how police interact with people with mental illness and how police are helping to divert them from incarceration. That's Prison Pipeline, April 4th at 6:30 p.m.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Bud, Bloom, and Blossom, the continuing tale of one woman's transformational journey, Saturday, April 2nd at 8 p.m. at the Hip Bone Studio in Portland. Gabrielle Juliet celebrates the endurance, joys, and challenges of the human spirit through song, dance, and dramatic theater and improv. There will be nudity and adult themes. Again, that's Bud, Bloom, and Blossom, the continuing tale of one woman's transformational journey, Saturday, April 2nd at 8 p.m. at the Hip Bone Studio, 1847 East Burnside Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
What would you have instead?
This is it.
Comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought will tell the world how you cast your vote.
Good morning. It is, just about 3 minutes after
8 o'clock in the morning, and you are tuned to your very own community radio station, Positively Revolt, and KBOO.
No.
And this is Positively Revolting here on your community radio station, KBOO. I'm Ani.
I'm Lynn.
And welcome to the Day of the Fool, right?
Woohoo!
This is, in fact,
like we needed another day for that this year, but whatever.
Well, there's fools and then there are fools, right? And so this is the thing. There's so many takes on this day, from the lighthearted office prank to, you know, the kid at school pulling the fire alarm. I mean, you know, I was going to say we've all done it, but maybe we all haven't.
F-80s in the toilets,
but, you know.
Yeah, right.
You know, but then there's the sort of more sophisticated sort of take on the day. And this is, I think, where we want to focus our attention. So first of all, sort of in the mystic realm, you know, as we do occasionally delve into that with Tarot, with astrology, I just wanted to note that the Fool in the system of Tarot is... well, it's the starting point. It's before the starting point, right? The Fool in Tarot is somebody without any guile, without any expectations, who is there immersed in the moment, in the experience, who is guided by a sense of knowing that doesn't come from any place but within. So it's someone who does not follow expectations or norms. It is someone who does not actually have expectations of where they're going. They're not focused on the destination, but they are focused on the journey. They are focused on every step of the way. And that is the Fool. And I've always loved that image. It's actually, you know, like, you shouldn't have a favorite child, you shouldn't have a favorite card. But it is, in fact, my favorite card. And I've always loved the sort of lessons around that, and how much more alive one can feel when they're living their life without expectation, without that focus on getting ahead, on that goal, on that destination, on that thing over there. But in fact, are living in the moment, are experiencing what is to be experienced all around us at all times. So that's sort of the overarching sort of mystical take on the day.
I was wondering about the history of it, and all I could find, apparently it's a little bit mysterious why it actually started, according to the interwebs, about 1700 in England. Some folks started playing practical jokes on each other. Like, you need a day for that, but I don't know. Apparently they went for this. Anyway, it's also been celebrated for several centuries by different cultures. April Fool's Day in France, 1582, when the French switched to the Julian calendar, to the Gregorian calendar.
From the Julian to the Gregorian.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
And they needed to celebrate that because it's not the most sensible calendar. I don't think that ever happened anyway. And they were slow to get the news, or failed to recognize the start of the new year had moved to January 1st, because it would normally have been, if people were going by a seasonal or Julian calendar, this would be the time of the new year. So people were contributed to celebrate the last week of March through April 1st. And they became the butt of jokes and hoaxes.
So they were seen as sort of the backwards bumpkins that didn't pull themselves forward from the mm-hmm. the sort of seasonally based, well, more seasonally based. I mean, the Julian calendar wasn't exactly, but whatevs, it was closer. Mm-hmm. And Gregor, shifted that New Year's date.
I love this. It included January. It included having a paper fish placed on their backs, being referred to as poisson d'avril, April fish, said to symbolize a young, easily caught fish and a gullible person.
There you go. I think somewhere in that article, I read that article too. Somewhere in that article, there's the origin of the kick me sign. So, mm-hmm. spoiler alert, it's from Scotland. All right, so so many things. We want to invite your calls. Do give us a call here at 503-231-8187, the number to join us. I think that it's super important that as we are living in a time that is, well, I think last week we said that what is going on around us sort of makes satire seem obsolete. As we live in a time of kind of numbing horror, right? It's like, okay, we can look at the environmental world and have a lot of fear, a lot of sadness. We can look at the human world and have a lot of sadness. You know, as we look at wars, as we look at climate change, as we look at deforestation, as we look at pollution, as we look at the dying off of bees, as we look at, torture and the exploitation of humans and the animal world. So we look at all of these things. It's bad, right? And we have a tendency to get very heavy. And we have a tendency to sort of pull back and to say, well, that I can't look, you know, either I'm inundated with it and I can't get out of bed, or I ignore it and I numb myself out. And I might do that with any of a number of things. I might do that with electronic devices. I might do that through more traditional means like, you know, drugs or alcohol. I might do it through television, you know, but there's that numbing. And with the numbing comes isolation. And so to break through that, to break down the walls of isolation and to actually reach somebody who's numbed out, I think that it does, in fact, take something that is very playful, that is very fun, that is spontaneous and unexpected. And really, that is the energy at the heart of pranksters and pranksterism. I want to point out some heroes of that realm for me would be the Yes Men, who really have honed political pranksterism to beyond a fine art. The work of the Yes Men do break down those walls of isolation, do help to show the truth through spectacle. And so those are sort of hero pranksters for me. And I wanted to ask others what, you know, where you find inspiration for a sense of fun and spontaneity.
Too bad all world leaders still don't have their fools. In the olden days, the fool was there to sort of keep whoever the monarch or whatever head of state was going on at the time in their place. And of course, we've had great political comedians, throughout the years from Lenny Bruce, but I think Will Rogers. Though that sort of thing so gets drowned out by the absurdity that we're living through. The because I was thinking about that today. Yeah, the theater of the absurd that has become the news. That there is no piece of reality for the fool to turn people back to in some ways. I've this to me is a very unique time in history, and fools are more important than ever, I think, particularly right about now. Who would Donald Trump's fool look like? I just want to see that.
You know.
That's a whole other.
I want to see who that poor person would be, but you know, the fools also they were the brunt of all the jokes, and they made the jokes,
and they were actually often the only person that could be critical of the monarch.
That was
a super important job, which brings me to the idea of comedy and comedy as a force for social change. There's the idea that, you know, to be a good comedian, one needs to be edgy, and that edginess can take a couple of different paths. So I just remember hearing this phrase a few months ago, and it's really stuck with me. And that is, good comedy, liberating comedy should in fact always punch up, right? The punchline should always target, to use the British phrase, our social betters, right? Those in power, and not take the cheap shots at those who may be struggling with issues, with things, who are already on the downside of power. Because again, that's just cheap, it's oppressive, and that is not in the spirit of the fool. The fool, in fact, the court jester style of the fool, as you were saying, Lynn, was there to make sure that the king had somebody to poke a couple of holes in the balloon of hubris.
Ah, now, a mighty balloon that is.
There's a phrase that probably will not actually take root. But still, I tried for an image, and it wasn't the best.
I thought that was kind of good.
Well, let's go ahead and talk to Sunny, shall we? And also, you can join us, dear friends, at 503-231-8187. You can also follow along throughout the week on the Book of Face. You can find us there, Positively Revolting. You can also follow along in the Twitterverse, at Positive Revolt.
But the number, 503-231-8187. What are some of your good April Fool's stories, if you've got some? Or your whole take on the need for fools, purposeful fools, shall we call them that? Anyway.
And great ideas for pranks. You might as well share those, too.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Good morning, Sunny.
Oh, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
What a pretty morning.
It is gorgeous, isn't it?
Yeah, it is lovely. You know, perhaps you ladies will enjoy this, because I have been kind of right in the middle of a great, epic, prolonged prank upon myself, of which quite a number of people know, because I am a big-mouthed kind of noted for my big mouth sort of person being. That's just the way I am. Super Sagittarius, you know, five planets in Sagittarius. And
holy mackerel.
What else is going to happen?
Uh-huh.
And Leo and Uranus, or Uranus and Leo in the first, and Mars in the tenth. What else?
What can you do? Yeah, totally. Okay.
Okay, I'm glad. Yeah, so here's the thing. It's funny because all down the line, I've done two things that are perceived as really foolish by an arch. We're talking about hysteric. We're talking about the two things that I did is that I have two things that I have religion and non-religion, which I'm going to learn more towards every day. Although, excuse me, I won't get into more trouble. I'll just shut up. Okay, so the thing is, okay, so I stood up for...
this should be a day you could get in trouble. It's April Fool's Day. Go it, Sonny.
Yeah, and okay. I say, never hide your truth.
So I stood up for fundamentalist Christians, because I do feel that there is something of them being pushed out of the public school system. We kind of need to be a little bit more round and less jagged in our efforts towards people we don't understand. Then the other thing I did was I marched around as a Indian saying, I have powerful ancestors. But Indians always say that, and you have powerful ancestors, and everybody has powerful ancestors. So people perceive me as a heavy-duty fundamentalist Christian type trying to tell people what to do and overly proud of my Indian ancestors. Well, here's the ironic thing, and here's the joke in it, too. I spent many months pretty ill with a severe illness due to broken pipes in my apartment building, which can occur, la la la, long story to that. Watch out for the three-story apartment buildings that they're throwing up now, because there's a problem with the piping sometimes. So I was ill, and I would get on those adult chat lines to just work out comedy, because you know when you're lying there and you're isolated in poverty and stuff, and it's like 11:30 at night, why the heck not get on?
Sure. Why not? However you break through your isolation, Sonny, okay?
Okay, so I did a lot of Laura Bush calling from the Motel 6. She left George, and she was just fed up with all of it. And the humor in that was that Laura Bush and George, the young one, were new to the office, and he had fallen off the couch and choked on a pretzel, and she had gone on the Tonight Show and showed everybody the pretzel that he had choked on while he fell off the couch. And that's the truth. That's not my joke. That's what she did. She did that on the Jay Leno, mm-hmm. night. I thought, that is just so
over the top.
Yeah, well, yeah. And I think in truth she had actually punched him out. That's where he got the scar on his face, and I think he had a black eye. So I did all this stuff about, you know, and previously in history she is noted as having run over one of her boyfriends.
Yes, in her drug dealer days, but that's another story.
Okay, so,
I missed all of that.
Lots of fodder there for ridiculousness. Well, some people were able to pick up on all of this, and across time, they have hounded me and suggested that because I was goofing around on the adult lines, I was soliciting business. Well, the irony in all of this...
Holy mackerel.
The irony is that they are true freedom thinkers, like they try to pose that they are all the time, wrapped up in the flag and all, that they would even... have said, all right, well, maybe she's soliciting business. That's her business.
Right. That's capitalism for you.
The heart of hypocrisy going on here. And quite a number of them were Crowleys, and I know they hate hypocrisy.
Well, so I'm going to jump in there for a second, though, and back up to something that you said earlier, which I just kind of have to challenge a little bit, okay? And that is, we do all have powerful ancestors. Ancestors are powerful. But I'm not entirely sure, and I'm going to question, actually, why you chose to, as you said, dress up like an Indian. Because, frankly, I'm not sure...
Well, I never did dress up as an Indian.
Oh, I thought that's what you said, so...
Well, I'm a half-Indian person, and when I walk around and I say I have powerful ancestors, people just start supposing that I'm saying I've only got powerful Indian ancestors. And what I'm really saying is it's an affirmation, and it's an affirmation for you too, if you like it, because people are made from strength and they are made from beauty, and everyone's made that way.
Yeah, we all have culture, and we all have ancestors. Yeah. It's very true.
And also, even wicked ancestors in the past are very helpful and can do great things.
So. Yep. Yeah. Hey, Sunny, we're going to let you go, but I want to thank you very much for your call this morning.
It's been fun. Thank you.
All right. You take care. And let's go ahead and talk to Adavoyan. Adavoyan, you're on the air.
Hi, it's Adavoyan.
Adavoyan. All right. Thank you very much. And welcome.
Go ahead.
And welcome to the air.
Oh, thank you. I just had I just want to piggyback off of one thing I heard from your last conversation. I would like to also say that, you know, that there are different systems for different, cultures, too. And so that should also be respected in their own right, as, you know, tarot generally is a Western system.
Yep.
But what I wanted to ask is, when I was being taught tarot, I don't think of myself as psychic per se, but just being able to read the cards. So... I was instructed to throw the fool away.
Who on earth told you that? No, I have never heard of that before, ever. I mean, were you actually using a tarot deck as opposed to?
Go ahead.
Not only have I never heard of that before, I can't fathom why anyone would say
that. Well, in standard card games, they don't use the
Joker. That's why I was like, are you using a tarot deck as opposed to a card deck? Playing cards actually developed from tarot, if anyone cared to know a little history there. But no, ever.
I've been trying to read up on that, and I can't find anybody else that gives that.
No, I think that was that one teacher that you had there that had some kind of, let's say, solo thought. You know, we're all hit with inspiration now and then.
Full prejudice. But no. That's sad.
Glad I could clear that up.
I couldn't find it again, so I was wondering.
No, I couldn't imagine.
I do think that there's meaning in it, so I was just kind of curious what your take was.
Never, ever, ever throw the fool away. The fool is huge.
Okay.
It's the before starting point. It is that, like I said, that presence in all, absolute presence with no expectations, no laying on of trips, no, not destination focused, but in fact immersed in the now. And that is a huge, huge benefit and important sort of archetype to work with. So no, never ever throw the fool away.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, for sure. Take care. 503-231-8187, the number to call this morning. We're talking about a whole number of things, really, as we figured we would. Here on April Fool's Day, on Positively Revolting, on your community radio station. This is KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland. You might be listening online, KBOO FM. You can always also get archives of just about all of our shows online. We'll be unveiling a new website that's all manner of beautiful and easier to navigate next week. So very excited. And now we are, in fact, talking to you about your take on the fool, on pranksterism, on breaking through that numbing, horrific day-to-day blah culture that is 21st century America. And how we do that together, and hopefully how we do that with love and respect and, you know, solidarity, moving things on. How do we stay rooted in a sense of fun and spontaneity in very challenging times? Yeah, those are our questions for you. 503-231-8187. Just like Johnny called. Good morning, Johnny.
Oh, good morning. Good morning. So you guys have a lot of callers calling in, or...?
Well, you're up now. So
right. Well, I just
what's
wanted
up?
To. Oh, I just.
We've got
to
time
know.
For you. Go ahead.
Okay, good. So, I am a fool, and I have always been a fool. I've been the trickster, the heyoka, the fool. I've been the class clown all of my life, and it just kind of came to me naturally. You know, it's not like something that that I actually. You know, had to research and, you know, figure out how to be, you know, and I just was that guy, you know,
yeah.
That was, I was making fun of stuff. I was making light. And whenever, like there was tragedy in the family or tragedy around, I was the one that was, saying, hey, look over here. This is a lot funnier than that tragic thing over there or something, you know, and later on in life, just like here recently in the past, 5 to 7 years, I got into the metaphysical healing world. And there are a lot of healers that are just in this really serious mode of like, you know, I'm serious, I'm a healer, I'm a light worker, and I don't laugh or joke or anything, you know, like, and, you know, and...
I've heard those people exist, yeah.
And we would have gatherings, you know, like, and I'd go to gatherings and I'd see this and... they'd just be smocking at me while there are other people that are just like, oh my God, this guy is hilarious. You know, like, where did you get him? And I would actually get these people to lighten up, you know, and like, and be able to break through and show some like that you can play, you know, it doesn't, not everything has to be like this serious hardcore note of like, defined determination.
And gallows humor is very important.
Yeah, most definitely. And so there's something that is huge in my life that I have been struggling with for the past probably about 7 years, about half of my son's life. And I have been in this awkward custody thing. And I'm not going to go into too much into detail, but it often brings me down because I hear promises that aren't followed through, and then my child doesn't get to come and stay with me, and we all know the sadness that can entail with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, sure.
So I commonly have to pick myself up out of the mud and the dirt and sometimes the half-hardened concrete. And what I have looked for in the past, what I've understood is like, well, first I've seen some pretty amazing, like, natural things, interactions with myself and other brothers and sisters of this planet, the winged ones, the four-legged ones, the ones that crawl. And I started wondering about, I was like, gosh, you know, I wonder if anybody else kind of sees this kind of thing. And so I was talking to people, you know, and I shared my experience with a few experiences with a few people, and they're like, hey, you're getting animal signs. You're seeing animal signs, and they're talking to you. And you, this is the universe. This is Mother Nature. This is the world and humanity speaking and giving you guidance, and you need to figure out how to listen. And so I did some research, and I did some checking into it, and lo and behold, the more I paid attention and the more I kind of did a little bit of studying on what I saw, the more guidance I got. And with that, there is my I've been communicating with my child, and he is seemingly just becoming more and more stressed out with the coming of events and the way, you know, I'm led to believe that his the family that
I want to sort of focus you back on the topic of the fool and pranksterism and where we're, you know, heading that direction.
Okay. Right. I guess I haven't been joking, I haven't been fooling anybody or anything,
yeah.
But I have been seeing like inspiration and the natural fool, or the fool that is not the human fool, you know.
Uh-huh.
What I mean? Like, and so there are not only just our brothers and sisters, our human brothers and sisters that play a part in this practical practical joking atmosphere. And so,
oh, for sure. And actually, I'm gonna totally agree with you there. And if you have ever seen there's a little viral video out there on a crow that decides to play, and it slides down some icy roof on a lid of a can, and it does it over and over again. It like picks it up like a little kid would do a sled and goes back and starts again.
Oh my gosh.
And check it out. I'll find it. I will post it to the Positively Revolting page, because it's true. Animals play, and animals have a sense of fun and spontaneity, and most especially birds. Oh my God. But anyway, thank you very much, Johnny, for your call this morning. And staying connected to that natural world and actually hearing the messages that are there for us. It's huge. It's important.
Yeah, we are a part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Call.
Take good care.
Yes, sir. I'll see you.
And 503-231-8187, the number to call. You can also, as we were saying earlier, connect with us on Facebook, where you can find us Positively Revolting. You can also find us in the Twitterverse at Positive Revolt.
Or on the ever-popular Gmail at positivelyrevolting@gmail.com.
Yeah, all of those things. You can find us.
it's fun. It's a call-in show. It's fun to...
To actually call. 503-231-8187. And good morning to you, Justin. You are on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
Yesterday, I was fired, and they told me that I should come in today to pick up my last check. Now, it was the most pleasant experience I've ever had being fired, and it occurred to me this morning that it's April Fool's Day. It said, "Do you see my conundrum?"
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. And what would your opinion be?
No, I don't think that's for us to opine. I think this is your call.
It sounds delightful. At least, are they asking you to train the next person?
They told me I could come back, you know, if I had a little more experience, is what they said.
Okay. I love it when they fire people and then they want them to train the person who's going to replace them. That to me is like,
okay,
really, you're going to do that? But they didn't want you to do that. They fired you for.
It was kind of interesting, because throughout the week, I just started this week. I informed them that I had just moved up from California, and they kept on telling me how great I was doing up until yesterday. When they said, you know, we really love your enthusiasm and your work ethic, but you just didn't make the sales that we required the first week here. And to me, I don't know how phone sales work too much, but having five sales within the first week, first starting, you know, no real experience required, that seems a little obnoxious. I don't know.
Yeah, it's really hard. I mean, there's so many quota-based sales jobs that are just really exploitive, as is so much, you know, so much relation with our work world in this fairly non-unionized country, right? So do be good to yourself. I'm sorry that you had that experience. But yeah, you know, here we are on this day, keeping in touch with a sense of fun through difficult times is important, but remember to be kind. That's where I'm going to leave it. And and Justin, thank you so much for your call.
Okay. Have a good day.
You Bye. Too. Take care. 503-231-8187.
'Tis the number to call in on Indeed. This Day of the Fool. Day to remind us how important it is to be foolish.
And, you know, I mean, another sort of the tradition, well, actually, you, Lynn, you were talking about history. No one, I love the more I've looked into this, and I've done it a couple of other years too, and I always think I'm going to find, like, oh, the thing, right? Mm-hmm. The smoking gun, but yeah, this is a day, this is a tradition that does seem to be without a firm fixed origin. And it,
how perfect
and,
for you the know, fool.
Right? And how ironic that I am there very destination oriented, looking for the origin. But I, you know, it has eluded me every time I've looked into this. And there does seem, it goes into very ancient times with the Roman festival of Hilaria. Gotta love that.
Hilaria.
And that has to do with the god Attis. And I mean, it goes on and on, and it's ancient. And there, so there, basically that to me says that there is a very solid need, a very solid human need for a day that the world gets to turn on its head, right? Where in different cultures have had different traditions, but many of them revolve around making the high low and the low high, you know, doing complete opposite of what one might do, what might be considered appropriate to somebody in that station of life. And I think that that's something to really look at. And then I look at that in conjunction with people like, well, the Yes Men. Mm-hmm. Who use pranks to bring out truth. And I look at the Merry Pranksters, which was a band of musicians, writers in the 60s. Ken Kesey, the Grateful Dead, many people involved. And again, that sense of playfulness, the sense of spontaneity, and the sense of seeing through the numbing veil was hugely core to the Merry Pranksters. They also promoted the use of psychedelic drugs, which, of course, in 64 were pretty much legal. So that's Ken Kesey was a very central figure. And just wanted to bring that up as part of the prankster history.
To this day, when I see road signs misplaced, I think, were the pranksters here?
Yes, yes.
Look it up, people. You'll find out about that.
So with all of that, let's go ahead and talk to Christopher, shall we?
Sure.
Good morning, Christopher. You're on the air.
Good morning, ladies. And along with two ladies were talking about with the influences, I was going to suggest Jello by Afron, like George Carlin.
Nice.
Oh, of course.
Listening to Jello by Afron, how he has to, you know, you have to have a little humor and levity when you're taking in all this news and dire stuff because they're coming after all of us and everyone's children. And so you have to have a little levity to it to make sure that you don't get too bitter and too broken up. And especially when you get someone like the Kanye Kardashian of the business world running for a president, you just kind of have to laugh and think that, there's always been difficult times out there. And as long as we get a revolution where we can dance with influences like Emma Goldman, we could always not worry too much because the past is just repeating itself, it seems like.
That is brilliant, and thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thanks for bringing up Jello Biafra.
Thanks
for bringing up Carlin. And it's true. If it's not, you know, Starhawk has said it. My old co-host Melody who passed on actually just about a year ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're fond of the saying, if it's not fun, it's not sustainable. And that is, I think, at essence of Emma Goldman's, you know, if I can't dance, it's not my revolution, right?
Molly Ivins, freedom fighting takes a lot of beer.
It's, you know, all of these things. It's important because as the slog goes on to make this world a better place, probably better to infuse it with the energy of dancing and laughter than humorless, gotta keep nose to grindstone and make progressive change. Because really, the energy you bring to the change is the energy that's going to exist after it, right? So which world do you want to live in? One brought about by drudgery or one brought about by spontaneity and fun? Just, it was a rhetorical question. Okay, let's go ahead.
Wait, I want to say this person's name. Scoot Brown.
Good morning.
Are you there?
Good morning. You're on the air?
Oh, me?
Scoot, yeah. Scoot Brown.
Yes,
are you there?
In fact, on the air.
Uh-oh.
It's the Fool's Day. We're having fun.
I'm liable to be outsmarted. I can see that from the get-go.
Oh, I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know about that so much. But carry on.
Well, I'm a magician. Excuse me. I'm a musician.
Ah, excellent.
And I've noticed that if I have the guts to try to get the room to laugh, I win. You know, I can practice and practice and play music forever and forever, but if I just get them to laugh in the room that I'm playing in one time, the battle is completely won. So, all those musicians out there, a laugh is worth a thousand songs, really.
Yeah.
That's an excellent point.
Have you ever, been in a comedy club and somebody's, the comedian's doing really well and suddenly they lose everybody? And you know, there's not even a logical reason why. Sometimes they just lose the magic and lose the thread. And to me, which is, I always end up getting embarrassed for the person that's on stage. That's just sort of how I am. But for you, yeah, when it's true, though, if you have the magic of comedy, you've got, and it brings goodwill from people, usually.
Oh, yeah. If people laugh, they turn into a group, and they're not afraid of each other anymore. You know, mm-hmm. There's a bunch of strangers sitting in a room, and there I am in the corner, but if they laugh, then they're not strangers. Something about a laugh just makes them bond to each other. I don't know. It's magic.
Tis a beautiful thing.
But it takes guts to do it, too. And that's the thing. If you don't go over, like you said, oh, my gosh.
I know.
Then like a jerk.
Flop sweat.
And I'm getting older, so I will add this to my spiel. Humor is like the ally of old age. It's almost godliness. It's that close. It's so powerful. If you can laugh at stuff as you age, you know, that seems like maybe an insult or this or that. Ah, ha, ha. If you can laugh stuff off, it just makes life so much easier.
For sure it does.
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
Well, and I think it's physiologically really good for the human body.
It releases good hormones that help you to heal, is what I read somewhere.
Well, I remember now, I can't remember the guy's name. He was a doctor who watched Mark. He had a heart problem, and he watched Marx Brothers movies to help him, and which healed him because he just laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed.
He laughed his
way. And they were some fine fools, those Marx Brothers.
I heard that same story. Yeah. So keep up the good work, and I'll do my end of it. Okay.
What's your instrument, Scoot?
Sometimes that's a joke, actually.
Okay.
If I was really smart, I would just convert the whole thing into a comedy act, and I would get way, way farther than I ever have.
Possibly.
Before.
But what's your instrument? What do you play?
I play guitar and sing. I'm a folk singer.
All right.
Excellent.
Excellent.
Excellent. Well, you know, I mean, Utah Phillips, one of the funniest musicians I've ever known and one of the greatest folk singers, because, again, that humor and that truth went together so powerfully.
Did you see him live perform?
Many, many, many times.
Like, was he from Portland? He wasn't, was he?
No.
He would have been called Utah if he was from
right.
Portland.
Well, there's that. He was living in Northern California, and I had the honor of getting to know him a little bit. So, where he was from originally, I'm going to guess Utah, but I don't actually know. I've never actually known.
Well, you're not supposed to know where a folk singer comes from.
That's right. That's an origin myth.
Huh?
Hey, Scoot, thank you so much for giving us a call this morning.
Yeah, thank you.
Take good care. And let's talk to Linda, and then you can let people know what's happening.
Excellent.
All, you know, all in good time. Good morning, Linda. You're on the air.
Good morning, you guys. Great show. It's fun to talk about something fun. I wanted to say, one, I'm a horrible prankster. The only time I tried to pull a prank, one person responded with real upset, and the other person was, huh? So it definitely did not provoke laughter on anybody's part, which was sad. But that was my only attempt at a prank. But I wanted to mention two cultural pranks that happen in Portland that I just really love, and they always just light up my day and make me laugh. One is the naked Santas. Running through the streets. Are they naked Santas? They look naked.
No, Santas are usually clothed because it's a cold time of year.
Well, there is a July. There's a July, and I know one person in that group who painted his body pretty much red. And
anyway, they're
it was more or less naked.
Fun when they go running,
it's the naked bike ride we have.
Yeah, and then there was the other was the naked bike ride. That was what I was. The other one I was going to say. It's just so fun. And what's fun about both of them is they just like. They just make something funny out of something common. Do you know what I mean? And something
yeah.
shared and something shocking. I mean, I wanted to go see the news by two people. Just, I wanted to see where does everything hang and how does this work? and also, I just was so admiring of the courage to just throw it all to the wind and jump out there and throw yourself out to people. And the same with the Santas. People are looking like, what is that? What was that? What just ran by?
Right, you know? Right. Oh,
so
that's awesome.
I love that kind of prank. And it isn't necessarily, you know, got a particular political point, though exposing our fears around nudity and stuff like that is pretty, you know, pointed. But I just love that kind of thing. I think it makes life so much happier.
I agree.
Totally agree. Thank
and
you so much
of
for your call.
We can't generate, you know, humor very well ourselves. We love to be the recipient of it in our
Yeah, you know, it's funny because the more I try, I mean, and every year, God knows I do, every year I'm like, okay, this year I'm going to do something that's going to be really, really funny. It's going to be a really funny, and I can never think of something. I've thought of some great street theater, and I have done that, but that in my head goes under a different category, though it is
yeah.
sort of the grand prank, really. I mean, it's, you know, getting guys in suits to dance to, you know, a spontaneous percussion band with, you know, garbage buckets and stuff. Yeah, it was, you know, that there's a sense of pranksterism with that. But when I sit down and I'm like, okay, I'm going to write a really good prank and it's going to be so, yeah, no, I've never been able to do that either. In fact, yeah, the only one I've ever actually tried on April Fool's Day that would be the prank is, in fact, oh, yeah, the pulling of the fire alarm when I was a grade school
really
student.
Did.
I really did.
I think it's something to take to your grave. I really did. You know,
I saw it in a cartoon. It seemed like a good idea. I pulled the fire alarm.
Thank you, Linda.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for your call.
Bye.
Well, and with that...
True Confessions.
True Confessions. Coming up this morning on KABU at 9, we'll hear Radio EcoShock with Climate is Revolution Justified, featuring green lawyer Roger Cox from the Netherlands, UK glacier specialist Thomas Bukasa, and scientist Paul Beckwith. At 10 o'clock, Air Cascadia is off today. No, really, it's not a joke. Air Cascadia is off today. We'll go directly to Flashpoints, which features an in-depth look at the huge nuclear weapons buildup in the U.S., and Greg Mello of the Los Alamos Study Group with Sister Megan Rice, an 86-year-old nun who just served 2 years in prison for breaking into a nuclear weapons facility and pouring her own blood on nuclear warheads. She did not keep the blood in containers. We'll talk
about
that.
Serious.
That is
serious
stuff.
Awesome.
I know, it's amazing. At 11, it's another installment in our series of statewide collaborations with other community radio stations. Today's topic is exploring emergency and disaster preparedness across the entire state. And at 11:30, Michelle Schroeder Fletcher speaks with journalist and author Thomas Frank about his new book, Listen, Liberal, or Whatever Happened to the Party of the People. Thank you, KABU members, for your generous support. And if you're not a member today, you can fix that by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. And that's what's coming up.
Yep, you
really
can.
It really is on this.
503-231-8187, the number to call. And good morning to Brian. You're on the air. Hello, Brian.
Hello. Oh.
There you are.
Ah, yeah. It's nice to hear a show about humor. And to me, humor and creativity are absolutely essential.
Like soup and sandwich.
Yeah, and then in my case, food. But your musician caller before, when I'm, even if I'm playing a fairly solemn, like classical guitar or flamenco, I can't help myself but make a few cracks, because it just really, it makes you feel like you know the audience personally, and, you can't always... My wife's dad had a great phrase, if it's not fun, don't do it.
Yeah.
My wife and I have laughed our way through God knows how many disastrous situations. And, that's the thing that keeps us bound as well, that we both have a deep sense of the ridiculous.
Oh, it's huge, yeah. I mean, that's just so important.
It's demonstrated every day, especially by our leaders. And, that... I'm sure you all saw that when Bernie Sanders was in Portland, when that little bird
alighted on the finch.
Yes.
I mean, just that warmed my heart, the fact that he
didn't shoot
really
it.
Got into
yeah.
it, and he thought it was great. You know, I can't imagine these Republicans or even Hillary Clinton.
Oh, well, let's face facts. I mean, that's like campaign gold, that is. I mean,
just... You know, and now he's got a birdie sticker out. Anyway, and the Scots, I'm so proud. Oh, by the way, one of you, whoever it was, needs to work on their Scottish accent.
I know, I'm sorry. I was having fun, Brian. What can I
say? Oh, I know. And that will put, because I get a lot of crap about my accent. You know, not in a bad way, but a lot of Americans are not very good at...
No.
One that I ever heard that could do a good Scottish accent. The Scots have a wicked sense of humour which horrifies visitors. So we call it slagging. And you build up a pretty strong carapace as you grow up. I come from a place where if I become president of the USA, they'd say, hey, didn't you come your big shit-itis here. I remember when you were a snotty-nosed little urchin, you know, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
so here's a little one, and I'll leave you from my country. What's the difference between Mick Jagger and a Scottish Shepherd?
Is this radio appropriate for 9 in the morning?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, all right, all right.
Well,
make it appropriate. You can do it, Brian. What's the difference?
We give up. What is?
Okay. Mick Jagger sings, "Hey, you get off my cloud," and the Scottish Shepherd sings, "Hey, McLeod, get off my..."
Yeah. Thank you ever so much, Brian.
And I will work on my Scottish accent.
You take good care, and let's go ahead and talk to Dennis. Good morning, Dennis. You're on the air.
Good morning. I just had a little bit of wisdom that just restates your show this morning. It says, the harder the times, the more we need vaudeville.
I thought you were going to say vodka for a second there. That's just me.
But vaudeville's healthier.
Yeah, vaudeville, most of that I see is at the country fair.
Yeah, yeah. And vaudeville, I mean, again, it's just that the whole range of comedy, from the witty to the broadly physical. It's, again, turning things on its head. It's a little sense of parody and satire. Vaudeville's super fantastic.
And I think the umbrella, there's an umbrella thing going on. Speaking of
Umbrella Festival?
Yeah.
Ah.
I don't know. But you're right. You're right, Dennis.
Well, thanks.
You're welcome.
Day.
Thanks for calling in.
Absolutely. The Country Fair, again, actually is an institution that has a very entwined history with pranksterism and the Merry Pranksters. So glad that that got brought up. And let's see, 503-231-8187. This is Positively Revolting. I'm Ani.
I'm Lynn.
And together we bring you this show every Friday morning. Next Friday, we'll be looking at abortion access and some history. Our guest will be Judith Arcana, who is a writer And there is a documentary that will be shown the following week that she's involved with. But she was also a Jane. And if you are unfamiliar with the history of abortion access, you've got a week to read up on it. So we're very excited for that show. And for now, if you want to stay in touch throughout the week, please do. And we invite you to do that through the wonders of social media. You can find us on Facebook, Positively Revolting. You can find us in the Twitterverse at Positive Revolt. And good morning to you, Matt. You're on the air.
Good morning. You had the previous caller mention the fun of the naked bike ride and all that, and it made me think that April Fool's Day is a perfect day to remember Jim Spag, local public television personality from back
way
in the
back.
Day. I don't
yeah.
know if you remember. Yeah, but you know. Apolitical.
I don't
nudity.
Know of him. Tell me about him.
In the early 90s, right? Late 80s,
yeah,
early 90s.
Late 80s, early 90s. He was
Portland Cable Access.
Portland Cable Access. Apparently, you could full frontal nudity after 10 p.m.
Right.
So
and
long
he
as
would.
It wasn't presented
That's
in
right.
a sexual manner. So he would just dance around naked with a cardboard guitar and just say ridiculous
right.
things. And it was just, you know, it was for the shock value of it, but. It definitely, it's one of those things that I never miss a chance to tell, like, you know, the transplants about, like, the
Portland that was.
Key Portland weird, yeah, you know.
Yes.
So anyway, just wanted to throw that one out there.
Hey, thank you for doing that, Matt.
Sure, happy April Fool's.
And to you.
Thanks.
Cable Access TV was so great about that. Of course, I don't think it's around anymore.
Oh, it is.
Okay.
Of course it is.
I don't have a TV.
I know. Well, see, that's the thing. I don't either so much so. But it is. It is. And I've heard that there's great things on it.
Oh, okay. Excellent.
But now it's called Portland Community Media.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's shifted.
Yeah.
And so, look at that. Out of callers and almost out of time. So you have a minute. If you do want to join us, you've got about a minute left to do it. If not, we can certainly spend this time thinking about pranks. Together, silently, please.
No.
That's not it. That's
no,
not
no,
it.
No, 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 no.
No, I think that really connecting with that sense of fun and spontaneity, that living in the moment, because really future tripping, it doesn't help right now. Thinking about the lessons of the fool and how we can, in fact, poke holes in the gas balloon of the powers that be. I think that humor is really an important tool that some people use very well, and we all need to access perhaps a little bit more often than we have been. Things tend to get very heavy, and there seems to be some people that think that there's a tension or that seriously political people, serious social justice work is humorless. We want to change the world. Well, it's kind of grim. And it's not. Social change is, in fact, a beautiful, wonderful, spontaneous thing. And we have to have fun with each other to make it sustainable.
That's true. We're going to slip Linda in here, another
let's
Linda.
Let's do it.
Really fast.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Linda.
Yeah, this is a story for the fellow who got fired. This is a great story. There was a Russian man. I knew his daughter. And he didn't know English, and he was working in a factory, and they fired him. And with the language difference, he didn't realize he'd been fired. So he kept on showing up and working his factory job, and then they decided just put him back on the payroll because he just didn't get it.
That's a good one. Thank you.
Yeah.
That reminds me of the movie Office Space. But that's a little different. Thank you, Linda, for
that
call.
Sound advice for him. That would be funny.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks
take good
lot.
Care. And thanks for listening. And with that, let's just invite you to have fun for your day, shall we?
It's a beautiful day out there in Portlandia. Go ahead and enjoy yourself.
Laughter connects, and it's so important as a tool to break through that isolation. I think it's probably the most effective tool to bring people together, again, as long as it's punching up and not down. And
ta-ta.
With that, we'll see you next week.
There comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought.
cast your vote.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of The Problem with Privilege, a four-week class hosted by the Portland Underground Grad School starting April 4th at 6:30 p.m. This class is for those who want to name and correct liberal racism, who want to understand and interrupt isms, and who want to be a powerful ally and take on race issues and white fragility without co-opting the issues. Again, that's The Problem with Privilege, a four-week class hosted by the Portland Underground Grad School starting April 4th at 6:30 p.m. at Hatch, 2420 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. Information on how to register for the class and more can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
And this is KBOO Portland. It's coming up on 9:01 a.m. when we'll hear Radio Eco Shock coming up with Climate is Revolution Justified. At 10,